I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles this morning to Daniel chapter number 3, please. Daniel and chapter number 3. And I'm going to be preaching a few things out of the entire chapter. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. And there's a number of things there that I could deal with. There's some prophetic things there to deal with. And just a number of things in the chapter. But I'm not going to take time to break it down and get tedious about it during our study in Daniel. I want to preach the thought, though, that the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Those men that refers to is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, and I read that, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his men, his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, there is a wonderful thing there, that they were cast bound. They were bound. The Bible said they fell down bound when they were cast into the fire. But no longer than it took the king to gaze his eyes, he said, I see four men loose. A good man might fall in the fire. But I guarantee you it won't be long till God will raise him up and magnify him to all those that are around him. What a great God we serve. Then it said in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. I probably won't get back to that either. But he said, come out of the fire, come forth, and come hither. He said, I've got to take a look at this. I've got to see what your God has done for you. Don't only come out of that fire, but come over here where I'm at and let me look you over. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was in hair their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, it's amazing. I won't take time because these things are not in my message. But it's amazing how soon men forget. Here is a monarch, a ruling monarch, that 20 years prior to this, by the prophet Daniel, had been instructed concerning the dream that he had. And at that time, he magnified the God of heaven. But 20 years later, he's done forgot all about that God, built an idol, and has bowed down worship in that idol that he built. Oh, how forgetful we are. But I can give you one better than that. These same princes, counselors, sheriffs, and governors that are in this service are the same ones that these three men in Daniel prayed for in chapter number 2, and God used that prayer to spare their lives. And now here's that same crowd approaching Nebuchadnezzar, and saying, you've got three of these Hebrews that refuse to fall down and worship the image that you built. Oh, I know they prayed for us about 20 years ago and saved us from destruction of life, but that's 20 years ago and things have changed now. Oh, I tell you, we forget real soon about what God has done for us and what people have done for us. Then it says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Word of God. Thank you this morning for the privilege of being in the house of God. I thank you for visitors, Lord, that you've sent our way. Thank you for your divine presence in this place this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've enjoyed that has stirred my heart today, and for the good Sunday school hour that certainly was a blessing to my soul. I pray now that you'll open up your word to us. God, that you'll grant us the liberty in this place today that we need. And Lord, that you'll reveal to us the glories of the Son of God. All the blessed truths that we find in this chapter. May our hearts receive them with great joyfulness. I pray for the salvation of sinners. Lord, for the reviving of the hearts of the people of God. May you have your will and way in everything that's said and done today. May we be sensitive, Lord, to your Spirit's pleadings and be obedient to his calls. I do pray you'll glorify yourself in the midst of it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach for a little while this morning, if God will help me, on the Lord's way in the furnace. The Lord's way in the furnace. In the verses that I read in your hearing this morning, a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have been cast into a furnace of fire. And they're there because of their faithfulness to God and their refusal to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's worldly idol. Boy, I could say I wish there were more men today in our churches like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that were so dedicated and so faithful that they would not bow even to the words of a ruling monarch, even if it meant them losing their lives. Oh, if we just had the fortitude and the courage that these men had, I believe we could show a lost and a dying world that there is a great God in heaven that is not only able to save our soul unto the uttermost, but He is able to deliver us from every fiery trial of persecution that may come our way. The Lord's way in His furnace. Now, I want to say this. There's a lot of things. Now, I'm going to mention a few prophetic things in a minute. But I want to get to the message, and then I'm going to bring some prophetic thoughts, and I close it out, and I hope it'll work out all right. But they've refused to bow here and to that idol. But they were simply obeying the Mosaic law. Exodus, Moses said in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And he said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now, I want to say, my friend, that we've got numbers of people today who are not only bowing down to idols, but they're worshiping them. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have a mouth, but they cannot speak. They have legs, but they cannot walk. And I tell you, they have no power to deliver. But I'm glad, thank God, that I'm serving a God this morning that not only has eyes to see, but He sees me, my friend, every minute of the day. He not only has ears to hear, but they're attentive unto my prayers and my cry. He not only has legs to walk upon, but He's walking before me in the land of the living, and He's a paving the way for you and I to follow Him. And I tell you, His footprints will ultimately lead to the very throne of God in heaven. What a great God we serve. Now, I'm going to tell you, God didn't write the Decalogue just for us to wink at. He meant what He said in the Ten Commandments. I like what that black preacher said up there on Monday in that remembrance ceremony. Son, I tell you, the hotter it got, the harder he preached. And the more he sweat, the more he preached. And he said something about the law of God and the Ten Commandments. And he looked at those bunch of politicians there and he said, "You've taken God out of the schoolhouse. You've taken God out of the courthouse, and the reason you have is there's no God at your house." And I say amen to that. That's the reason any man that knows God and loves God wouldn't have any problem with what he said in Exodus chapter number 20. That still that way, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. We've got people today that want to pray the rosary, kiss Mary on the big toe, Put Mary's in bathtubs out in the yard, upside down bathtubs out in the yard. But I'm going to tell you, I have been in some people's house that claim to be evangelical and love the Lord, and they're not much better. They've got every kind of a little old religious article and idol hanging all over the house, and I'm not so sure that some of them are not putting their confidence in those things to deliver them. Amen. I'm thankful now. Here's these three boys for their stand and their obedience that are cast into a burning fiery furnace. Do you think that they're there through the will of Nebuchadnezzar or by the will of Almighty God? Romans 8:28 still there, church. All things still work together for our good. Amen. To those who are the called according to God's purpose. Yes, sir, and God, hey, I'm going to tell you why they were there. They were there by a sovereign order of Almighty God that they might be a witness to that heathen world that they were living in. Now, I'm going to tell you, brother, it's like Brother Smith said about that offering this morning. God's looking for some fine fire, friend, that can be a witness to this lost and dying world that we're living in. Somebody out there needs to see Christ. And I'm not talking about in a world of religion. I'll get there in a minute. I'm talking about in real salvation, Holy Ghost, living for the glory of God. Son, I want to get ahead of myself, but we've got enough religion in the world to choke a dog. I'm so sick of little religious gatherings that in the name of Christ, and if you just name Jesus, it doesn't make any difference what you do and everything will be all right. I'm going to tell you what God said about it. He said it's idolatry. Amen. I'm thankful the Lord has His way in the furnace. He knows how to put a man there. He knows why that man is there. And He knows how long to keep that man there. And He knows how to deliver that man when he's done with him. You see, I think sometimes we forget that the fiery trial that is to try is of man's choosing. Oh, it's not. It's of God's choosing, and we're put there by sovereign design, and God knows how long to keep us there. And by the way, He knows how hot to turn the fire up. That furnace was heated 7 times hotter than it ever was. That tells me that God had some real choice men in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Turn her up 7 times. Throw him in bound. But he looked and said, my, to the good grace of the Lord. I thought we cast 3 men in there and I see 4 of them and they're loose and they're walking in the midst of that fire. Amen. Unbound and unburned. Amen. Unbound and unburned. I tell you, we wiggle and writ and twist and turn at the fires of God in our life. But I'm telling you, they're designed to burn out the dross and not to consume us. Like that burning bush that Moses looked at, he saw that flame of fire in that bush, and it burned, but it wasn't consumed. Son, that's the holiness of God burning in the heart of a sinner to burn out the sin, but it will never consume the individual. Bless His wonderful name. Now, I got to admit this. I was telling Miss Hall a little bit about this morning on the verse. She gave me this scripture, this thought. She said somebody wrote her something and talked about purifying silver. Said the individual said that they that man that's purifying that silver knows exactly how much heat to put on that silver. And she said that man said if you don't get it hot enough, it'll leave impurities there. But if you get it too hot, it will destroy the real value of that silver. And I said, well, how does that man know how long to leave that silver in the fire? She said, when that silver is just right, he can look through a glass and see a reflection of himself in the silver. And I want to say to you, my friend, that's exactly what a holy God is trying to do with us. He's trying to purify us, and He'll turn up the fire just hot enough until He can lock in that silver into us and see the image of the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's trying to create us in the image of holiness and righteousness for God's sake. He's trying to conform us to the image of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, the fire is the only way it'll get done. I'm going to have to hurry. There have been various people in the Bible that's been put in that fire for different reasons. May I say to you that David was put in the furnace for punitive reasons. That is, for correction. To be whooped just a little bit, if you please. You know the story of David, how that he went up on that rooftop where he ought not to be in a time when kings go forth to battle, and looked upon that woman, lusted in his heart over her. Yes, sir. And sent for her, brought her to his house. She conceived a child. He called her husband from the war and tried his best to get that man to go down to his own house and go to bed with his wife. But he refused to do that, and David sent that man into the battle, into the hottest part of the battle, and withdrew from him that he might kill that man killed. I'm going to tell you, that didn't set too well with God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I love you, but sin in your life ain't going to set well with God. And sin in my life is not going to set well with God. Here's what God said to David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10, by the hand of Nathan the prophet. He said, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're in the furnace today, if God's put you in the midst of the fire, you may be there because there is sin in the camp. Now, I want to say this on the authority of the Word of God. There is only one thing that will stop the march of Island Ford Baptist Church, and that's sin in the hearts of God's people, brother. If we'll ever confess our sin, get right with God, He'll forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we'll ever confess our sin, God Almighty will hear from heaven and heal the land that we're living in today. God help us, my man. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if I confess and forsake it, I shall find mercy. I'm glad, thank God, we're serving a merciful God who is able, my friend, not only forgive sin, but to show us mercy again and set our feet on the right path again. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sorry about my voice. I'm just going to have to squeal because this stuff's got in my throat. I'm just doing the best I can, all right. My vocal cords are a little weak. I'm just doing the best I can with it. I want to say that Job was put in the furnace for proving reasons. To prove him. That's right. And to prove to Job just what he was and what God was. I've got a feeling that most of us got the wrong idea of what we are. God put old Job in there, took everything that he had. And when he closed out that book in Job 42, 5 and 6, Job said, I have heard of the Lord by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm telling you, God's people have got a way, my friend, to have a prideful spirit and a proud heart, and we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. I'm here to tell you, my friend, we're nothings and we're nobody. Paul said, I'm nothing and Apollos is nothing, but it's God that giveth the increase. And I'm here to tell you, if we just praise Him and learn to thank Him and praise Him and repent ourselves in sackcloth and ashes, I tell you, we'd have God in our heart. And God may have to put some of you in the furnace to prove that to you. Oh, I'm telling you, I've never seen so much ego. You know what the psychologists say, don't you? Got to have self-esteem. You got to think you are somebody. That bunch of humanizing, worldly morons that know nothing about the Bible. Self-esteem. I tell you who I'm going to esteem. I'm going to esteem my Lord. Paul said, if I'm going to glory, it's going to be in the cross. I'm telling you, and we're 1,000 light years behind glory and in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not what I've done. It's not what I can do. It's not what I'm doing. But it's what God has already done for you and I that counts. And He's already done it. Amen. God put Job in the furnace just to prove this. You know, I got a feeling Job kind of got an idea he was somebody, richest man in all the East. Had all that cattle, he was a real man of prayer. As far as I know, I couldn't find any flaws in his life. I've looked in the Bible trying to find flaws in the life of Job, and I find none. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. My eye doesn't scrutinize quite as deep as God does. Boy, if that didn't open up a can of worms. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If I can see faults with me and I can see faults with you, don't you reckon God can see just a little deeper than that? I've got a feeling God can see beyond what we see, Brother Andy. You better believe it. Amen to God. I believe God can look beyond what we see and even see the sins of ignorance that we know nothing about. Don't leave me now. I want to say Paul was put in the furnace for preventative reasons. Old Brother Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, and sometimes God can look out in the future. Well, all the time God can look out in the future. But God can see things in our life that is going to harm us and hurt us if our course is not changed. And many times He'll put us in that furnace. But to humble us down. Hey, that messenger reminded Paul of what he was. You know what I think Paul's thorn in the flesh was? A constant reminder of him standing by as they stoned Stephen and given his consent to it. And then furthered by his persecution of the churches of God. I believe that messenger reminded him of that every day. Oh, Paul said, I was caught up into the third heaven and heard things that is not even lawful for a man to utter. I'm telling you, Paul was a spiritual man, but God said, Paul, I'm going to have to give you a messenger to remind you of where you was when I found you. I'm here to tell you, a lot of us this morning need to just get right on back to where we were when God found us and realize what we were at that particular time. God, help us. And such were some of you. But now you're cleansed. Now you're washed. Hallelujah to God. We've all had our conversation in the world in times past, but I'm glad now we're sanctified. Hallelujah to God. Now we're a holy vessel in the sight of God. Oh, yes. And if we'll remember where we were, it'll drive us to Him that will make us even holier. Woo-wee. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You are not made holy by doing holy things. Somebody said, no wonder Brother Hall can do this or do that. Man, he's a preacher. And somebody sings in the choir. Somebody can do this and do that. I'm going to tell you what, you're not made holy by doing holy things. God imputes righteousness and makes you holy that you might do holy things for Him. Hallelujah. I've noticed some of you in here. Well, I'll just go and say, I noticed when Miss Sharon and Miss Angie were singing this morning, their singing has improved 500%. 500, 1,000, 10,000 times percent. Somebody said, preacher, why? I think maybe both of them might have been walking in the midst of the fire. But son, unbuckle your seatbelts. I believe God's getting ready to unbind them and bring them out of the fiery furnace. Hallelujah to God. Some of you too in here, I'm seeing it. God's had you there. Son, I'm telling you, and some of you has screamed a little bit, yelped and yapped and carried on, but others have sat there very patiently and never opened your mouth. I don't believe them three Hebrew boys ever opened their mouth. Throwed them in there bound, and I believe they no sooner hit the floor of that furnace till they felt a tap on the shoulder and said, get up, boys. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they didn't ask the Lord, how'd you get in here? Where'd you come from? He said, I didn't come from nowhere. I've always been here. Amen. Somebody said, you got any text for that? For the Lord our God is a consuming fire. Son, and you can't hurt fire with fire. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, Nebuchadnezzar's fire can't hurt he who is fire. That's right, ain't it? Praise God. Peter was put in the furnace to reveal a partnership. We're partners with Christ in this thing. Old Brother Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. I'm telling you, it's a wonderful thing. It is a blessed thing. Oh, yes, to be able to suffer right along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Son, God gave me this verse a long time ago, and I have eat it up, dined on it, been blessed by it, stood on it, loved it ever since. But Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. And I'm telling you, somebody said, oh, I just believe. Well, let me ask you something. Has there ever been any purifying? Oh, has there ever been any purifying in the furnace of fire by God to purify your hearts? Oh, yes, sir. And make you pure silver. I'm talking about redeemed. I'm talking about being perfectly redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, most folks know nothing about suffering. Right. Amen. Amen to God. Amen. And I'm not tooting my horn, and I tell you, I don't like to hurt and ache and pain any more than anybody else. But son, I'm going to tell you, I'm learning to welcome what God is doing in my life. Amen. Amen. And thank Him for it. Bless His wonderful name for it. Amen. I'm learning to fight it. I'm learning to fight the disease. I'm going to keep on fighting it. I'm going to fight it like I would sin. I'm going to scratch it, claw it, bite it. Amen to God. If my teeth fall out, I'll gum it, kick it, scrape it. Amen. No, not about to give in to it. No, sir, but I'm going to tell you, in doing so, son, it'll cause a man, when the sufferings come, it'll cause a man to turn his face like Hezekiah did to the wall and cry to God to have mercy on him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you get in the furnace, if you don't call out a little bit, I don't know if you've ever been in the furnace or not, friend. Amen. But it's a partnership. I want to say this lastly in my introduction, that Christ was put in the furnace to profit everybody. What a wonderful God, Miss Patty. Put in the furnace to profit everybody. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Woo, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if our visitors are used to this or not, but I'm getting ready to lap it out or do something. Amen. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, get this now, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I'm glad, thank God, that he was put in the furnace of suffering of the wrath of God, that you and I, my friend, might be made whole and might be healed by his stripes. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. But I tell you, no man ever suffered like Jesus suffered on the cross. I'm just about ready to get happy in God this morning. Son, no man ever suffered like that man. Beat with a cat of nine tails, my friend, beyond the recognition of mortal eyes. But I'm glad the Father knew who he was. He didn't, because the Father didn't have to look on his countenance, but he could look into his heart, into the spirit of what he was, and know that it was God. Only begotten Son. You talk about fire. You think we've got it bad. Son, we're living in a cream puff world. Amen to God. Take his power and his authority insulted. His holiness spit upon. His righteousness condemned. His manliness exposed. His life mocked. Hallelujah to God. But in the furnace of God, he suffered it all, my friend. That sinners like you and I can be saved. And here we find three Hebrew boys in the furnace because they took a stand for him. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. And I've only got 2 points. It won't take me long to preach it. What are you going to do if you get cast into the furnace? I got 4 little points. The folly of Nebuchadnezzar, the faith of the Hebrews, the fortitude of the Hebrews, and the finish of the Hebrews. Just very simple thoughts. But the folly of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I don't have time to recap all this. My time is getting away from me. But Nebuchadnezzar built that idol. Hey, look here. He had just saw in chapter 22 a dream. Had a dream and he saw that idol with a golden head. Get this now. Don't nobody leave me. He saw that idol with a golden head. And you know, the rest of it is made up of other parts, brass and iron and clay, silver and this sort of stuff. Hey, but here Nebuchadnezzar doesn't make his idol like that. He makes it all gold from head to foot. And Daniel had done told him, that head of gold is you, Nebuchadnezzar, and that's your kingdom. I believe this man said, look here, what's the need of me giving up my kingdom? I'm going to make me an idol of gold from head to foot. I'm going to show Daniel that I'll rule indefinitely in my kingdom. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but that is the spirit of Antichrist. That is the spirit of Babylonianism. And Babylon fell a long time ago, but the spirit of Babylon is still alive and well today. Yes, sir. Now, his folly, he thought he could unify the kingdom by using religion. Don't leave me now. Nebuchadnezzar was a political ruler, politician. And he was trying to bring his kingdom under his rule and through idolatrous worship. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll just tear down this middle wall. And all of us, here's what we're hearing today. All of us Baptists and all of us Muslims and all of us Catholics and all of us Presbyterians and all of us Pentecostals and Nazarenes and all the other religions, Hindu and all the other myths, we can just come together under the guise of one God. I mean, let religion unify the world, son. I'm telling you, that's what he wanted to do, is unify the world by religion. And I'm here to tell you, I'm glad, thank God, there were 3 little old Baptist boys. I'm not ashamed of it. I said, 3 little old Baptist boys that said, we will not bend, bow, or burn, Nebuchadnezzar. You can have your ecumenical monarchy. I don't want a thing to do with that crowd. I'm a Baptist and proud of it. They burned our forefathers to the stake, decapitated them, drug them through the streets, fed them to lions, and I'm not about to kick in and kick out and cave in to the ruling monarchy of the world today, buddy. Just all of us come together. We'll build one image. We'll all worship it. And all of us will come together. Now, I'm going to say that I'm proud of that. And I'm going to tell you, and I know for a fact, that George W. Bush is not the Antichrist. I believe he'll be a Syrian Jew. But I know he's not. You know what he said the other day? He said the Muslim religion is a threat to the God that America serves. Y'all do know that a lady over in Corbin found in her little girl's textbook where the textbook's in English said, "We believe in one God whose name is Allah and Muhammad is His messenger. Let's all come together. Let's just study this and be friends with everybody." I'm going to tell you something right now, and I know we're on the radio and probably on the internet and where, I don't know who's listening, but I'm going to say something right now. I am not
a friend to a Muslim that will kill innocent people. God forbid that we should embrace that hateful religion that takes the lives of innocent people.
Amen. Not about to do that. Amen. Now, hey, there are several places, and I don't have time to turn to all of them, but at least there's at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There is at least 8 places in this chapter that the word worship or worshipeth is mentioned. So here is a political figure. Here is a president or a, what's Tony Blair? Prime Minister. Saying, let's build this big image and I want all nations, languages, tongues, I want all of you to come together. And when you hear the sound of these musical instruments, you fall down and worship this God. What's a political leader got to do trying to get his nose stuck in to God's work? I'm going to take that crowd of politics. I'm going to tell you something. Washington and state houses and government has just about destroyed old-time religion, buddy. Somebody say, amen, you know I'm right. You know I am right. He creates an image of himself as an object of state worship. This is humanism at its highest. Man's attempt to deify himself. And as I said a minute ago, Babylon is dead, but Babylonianism, the spirit of it, is alive and able in the world today. Now just stay with me. In verse 1, we have the measurements of the image. He said it's 60 cubits high. Are you there? It's 60 cubits high and it's 6 cubits wide. Somebody want to add 60 and 6 and see what you come up with? Come up with 66, right? You want me to better that one for you? Count the musical instruments, honey, and you'll come up with 6 more musical instruments. All of them, the image and the music, all instruments of worship. And when I add 60 plus 6, I get 66. And when I add 6 musical instruments, I get 666. That is the number of man, the number of Antichrist. And that is his philosophy and his religion. Worship me. Bow down to me. Amen. And if you don't, guess what? I've got some mighty men here that is called the beast. And the beast will see to it that you're cast into that furnace of fire. My name is Antichrist, and I've got a beast that is going to fry your hide if you don't do what I tell you to do. Them little Hebrew boys walked out there and said, "Hear this, King. Our God is able to deliver us. And He will deliver us out of thine hand." One way or the other. You know what they're saying there? Either we're coming out of here or going to heaven, fellow. One way or the other, He's going to deliver us out of your hand. But I like what they said. But if He don't, we will not bow down nor serve your gods, either one.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. I'm going to tell you, I believe them boys realized when they got in the furnace, be somebody in there waiting on them.
God's way in the furnace. Woo! Hallelujah to God. I'm glad He's in the fire when we get in there. I'm telling you, we don't have to bow. We don't have to bend. And we will not burn. But I'm glad, thank God, that we don't have to bow. That's a worldly pressure to get us to compromise our standard. Somebody said, well, y'all compromised up there at that shindig this week. Old Brother Doug walked up there and said, we got some music that we'd like to play. You reckon we could play it? The man said, yeah. And for 3 or 4 days that week, 3 days, we had music playing on the town square in Madisonville. Songs like That Ragged Old Flag and the medley by the youth choir, Brother Allen. I don't remember all of them. Brother Doug, tell you, he's the one that put them on the CD and took them up there. Playing over loudspeakers. I'm talking about them folks, and folks just milling around saying, oh, isn't that good music? Praise God, isn't that wonderful music? That's something else coming over them speakers. Praise God. Now, I didn't have no earthly idea that they was listening to the music that was made up of a choir of an old red-faced, slobbering Baptist preacher that refused to bow to their idol.
Amen.
And refused to bend to their pressure. And bless God, when they lit the fire on His coattail, He wouldn't burn either. Say amen right there. Amen. Hallelujah. What are y'all going to do, cave in? Whenever you hear the sound, ladies and gentlemen, of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, here's what you're going to do. You're going to fall down and worship that idol. Well, we ain't doing it. Nebuchadnezzar. He tried. Hey, his folly was in trying to unify, and I've got to hurry on before the Lord. Trying to unify the world by religion. Secondly, to try to undermine the work of God by forcing God's people to compromise. Fall down! Cave in! Get up! Get your televisions back! Put your televisions back in your home. Oh, Brother Hall, hey, all you got to do is listen to me, son. He ain't nobody. Get your televisions back. You ladies, don your britches again. Bud your hair off, son. Look like a worldling. But I'm going to tell you what the three Hebrew boys said. We will not bow down or compromise to that. Go ahead and slit your dresses. Plumb up to your backside. You know what I'm thinking about, Brother Doug, and you know I can't say that on air. I saw a lady at the woman at that shindig up there. Saw her from the back. Had a dress on about that long and a split up the back of it, plumb on up. And I said, if I was writing a newspaper, if I was a newspaper, and that person done some things that's not kosher in the community either. I put an article in there and I said, oh, so-and-so has done showed her hind end in more ways than one. Come on, the house, boys and girls. Are we going on? I'm telling you, if you don't go on, you'll go back. If you don't go on, you'll stop in the dark and you'll wind up going back.
Amen.
Now let's look at their faith. We'll be down here in just a minute. Verse 17 says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand.
Amen.
In other words, they defied the order. Hey, their faith in their God brought defiance of worldly compromise. We will not compromise. I defy the orders of the world. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I believe in obeying the laws of the land. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We better obey God rather than men. Won't some of y'all look in the devil's face and spit in his face and defy
His pressure on you to compromise what you've been taught.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Miss Hall and I sent over to church talk. Al talked to me every day. And I'm honest, we're going through a dry spell. It has been dry. There ain't been much praising God and shouting one thing or another. And I'm going to tell you, everywhere I go, when I come back here, I tell my wife the same thing. We may be going through a winter season. We may be a little dry. But I wouldn't trade what's there for any place I've ever
Amen.
Been.
Amen.
Go look at some of them.
Amen.
Go look at some of them.
Amen.
And it's because you've taken a stand against compromise.
Amen.
Hey, look here. Their defense, not only their defiance, but their defense, their faith gave them a defense. They presented their bodies a living sacrifice. You know what it says in verse number 28? Let's read this. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies. Yielded their bodies. Now, I don't know much about the Bible, but I want you to hear me well. You know what those three Hebrew boys said in their heart? We're willing. We are willing to present our bodies a living sacrifice and let this flesh die. That we can go on serving God without compromise. They yielded their bodies. Well, preacher, I've got to get back in my easy chair. And surely you don't expect me to come to prayer meetings. Surely, preacher, you don't expect me to come on work day next week. I've got so much going on. Don't tell that to them three boys. They'd laugh at you. They presented their bodies. They yielded their bodies a living sacrifice. Not only presented their bodies a living sacrifice, but I'll tell you another key to their defense was the presence of Christ in that fire. Whoop! Lo, did we not cast four men into that furnace bound? I say three men. Of a son of God, or a son of the gods. My Bible says the fourth is like the Son of God. You want me to tell you why that perversion that says sons of a God can't be right? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you why that perversion cannot be right. Nebuchadnezzar didn't say, I see four sons of a God in there. He said, I see four of them loose and walking around and one of them. If it had been a mere human being, he had said, I see four sons of some God in there. Then their deliverance, their faith brought deliverance in verse number 26, the last part of that. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire.
Amen.
Very quickly, their fortitude or their courage. It said in verse 18, But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Amen.
I wonder how much courage we got today. They burned John Husk at the stake. And he refused to bow to the pressure from the religious crowd of his day. I have got in my house a picture of a young soldier in Vietnam in 1965 that was willing to give his life for America. They cut his head off and his left arm. And that picture shows that boy, that's all of his body that remains. And he give that for his country. I wonder if we couldn't do the same for Christ.
Amen.
Are we not willing to give the same for Christ?
Amen.
Do we not have that kind of courage? That young man, the last words that came out of his mouth, the very last words that he spoke, he was singing, God bless America. God bless America. I wonder if we couldn't have enough of that courage and present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, no matter how it hurts, no matter how difficult it gets,
Amen.
No matter the sacrifice that we've got to make,
Amen.
That we couldn't lift our eyes toward heaven and sing, there is a fountain filled with blood. drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners that plunge beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Onward, Christian soldiers. Is He not worth that to us? Does He not mean more to us than country means to man? Surely He does. Surely He does. Their fortitude, real courage in the face of death. In the face of death, reality, ladies and gentlemen. They would not compromise. And then their finish, I think it's in verse 22 or 23. Nebuchadnezzar brought them out of that furnace and said, then Nebuchadnezzar promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in his kingdom. We don't see much promotion today. I'm going to tell you something. Do you want to be promoted with God and be something for God? If you do, you're going to have to pay the price. No pain, no gain. No cross, no crown. There's a price to pay, folks. Somebody said, well, God ain't doing much with me. Have you stayed in the fire long enough to let Him purge you of impurities and get you to a place where He can use you for the glory of God? I sure hope so. God's way in the furnace. Christ's way in the furnace. Low. Nebuchadnezzar said, I don't believe it. Lo, it's an incredible thing. Did we not cast three men into that furnace bound? Lo, I see four of them and they're all loose. That kind of persecution will do nothing but give greater liberty to the people of God. We're really saved. God bless you. Let's stand together.